Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Friday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys today to wrap up the week. Our guy Daniel Gallen is standing by, going to get his thoughts on Penn State for the upcoming season. A lot of high expectations in State College. We'll also dive into the New Orleans Saints today on the show as we continue our college and NFL previews here on Send It In. Major League Baseball is back today. The All-Star break is over. The second half begins tonight. We'll dive into the full MLB slate, and then also we'll update you live on what's going on at the Open Championship Round 2. More than halfway done. We'll update you on the live leaderboard and some live odds as well. Then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, we'd love to hear from you guys over the next 30 minutes of the show. Send in your questions, your comments, any best bets that you have for us at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube. We'll get to all your responses throughout the show. Any questions on Penn State, make sure you let us know for Daniel as well. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast. All the episodes available wherever you get your podcast. You can check that out after the show. Let's get rolling on a Friday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Daniel Gallen, who joins us. Give Daniel a follow on X at Daniel JT Gallen. Covers Penn State for 24/7 Sports. Daniel, obviously, man, there's a lot of excitement around Penn State for this upcoming season. What would you say is the message, like, around Penn State in that locker room, around that team? Is it trying to avenge last year's tough loss to Notre Dame in the semis and being that close? Or is it, obviously, all this hype, all the returning production that they have, and just trying to finish the job and trying to execute because they know what a great opportunity they have this season?
I think there's a really quiet confidence around this team. We haven't had anyone come out and give one of those big declarations like finish the job or revenge tour or anything like that. But I think that this team knows how close they were to playing for a national championship last year, and a game that, you know, they maybe would have had a chance to win given how they played Ohio State earlier in the season. And they're bringing back so many of the pieces that really made that engine go. These big play guys who made significant impacts for Penn State last year. So I think overall, there's a confidence around this team. They know where they are. They know how close they were. And now they know what it takes, what extra you have to do to get over that hump, to get a little bit closer to that championship game.
Right now, Daniel, do you think you could make the case that Penn State is maybe the best team in the country before we start the season?
Definitely. I think there's a real case for that. You look at who they are bringing back. You look at their coaching staff, Jim Knowles and Stan Drayton, two big-time hires by James Franklin this offseason to, you know, get better in two spots that you didn't necessarily think that maybe they could get better at. So I think you look at what they did on the coaching staff, you look at who they brought back, and then you look at maybe different players taking that next step in their development. I think you can really project this team to be that number one team in the country going into the season.
If there was one area of weakness on this Penn State football team, what do you think it is?
I think when you look at this defense, the interior of the defensive line, defensive tackle, they lost a lot of veterans last year. And then one of their starters from last season, Alonzo Ford, is coming back from injury. He'll be full go when camp starts next month. And he'll be playing next to Zane Durant, who came back for his senior year and I think is an absolute stud. But behind them, you've got a lot of young guys who need to step up. Similar defensive end. You lose Abdul Carter, but you return to Nydenna Sutton. But you need younger guys who maybe haven't done that much in the past to step forward, to take these leaps, to really fortify that group for you.
You know, obviously, we watched the Notre Dame-Penn State semifinal game last year, and a lot was made about the fact that not a single receiver had a catch in that game. Franklin and the coaching staff did a great job in the portal going out and getting some guys. You lose Tyler Warren. Daniel, who should we expect to be some of the top targets for Drew Aller this season catching passes?
I think in terms of that transfer group at wide receiver, you've got the three of them, Kyron Hudson from USC, Devontae Ross from Troy, Trevor Peña from Syracuse. I think if you're going to maybe rank those guys by, I guess, statistical impact, I think they're all going to have different impacts in different ways over the course of the season. But I think statistically, you're looking at Trevor Peña, who caught a ton of passes from Syracuse, and Kyle McCord in that offense last year. I think that he is viewed as a guy who can really step in and maybe be that number one right away. I think Devontae Ross is a potential big play guy. We saw what he did at Troy against Iowa last year, 5 for 177 and 2 touchdowns, plus another punt return touchdown. So he's done it against Big Ten competition, and he's done it against Big Ten competition when he's been the number one guy on the scouting report. So I think that that's something that you can maybe hang your hat on a little bit too. So this wide receiver group, there's going to be a lot of attention on them. We're still in wait and see mode if any of these freshmen that they brought in can take a leap, if any of these returners who've been around for a couple years, if they can take a leap. But I think there's real reason for excitement with these transfers who came in.
Previewing Penn State here with our guy Daniel Gallen. Give him a follow on X at Daniel JT Gallen, covers Penn State for 24/7 Sports. Again, any questions you guys have on Penn State, let us know and send them in to us at the BetMGM Network. Daniel, if you were looking at the Heisman Trophy market this year, Drew Aller amongst the top five in the betting favorites, but they return those two running backs. Singleton, Allen should have great years. If you were looking at somebody in the Heisman market for Penn State, would it be Aller at shorter odds, or maybe would you take a flyer with Singleton and obviously the big year that he could have?
I think you would go with Aller in that case. I think that Penn State is really going to split that load at running back again. It got a little bit off last year because Singleton was banged up at times. Katron Allen was banged up a little bit at times. But if you go back through historically and look at the game logs, Katron Allen and Nick Singleton are coming out of a lot of these games with the same amount of carries at different points in the season. You can be 8 games into the season and they will have the exact same number of carries or be within 3 to 4 of each other. So Penn State really values splitting that. I think also given that we saw a 16-game season last year, a little bit longer than we're used to, and you have two guys who came back who also NFL is awaiting at running back, for your running back NFL, you know, it's kind of the you know, you're balancing things there. So I think that you're going to see some of these younger backup running backs maybe get into a little bit more action. So I think in this case you go with Aller. I think if Penn State is a national championship contender, if they win the Big Ten, it's because Aller takes a leap forward. He's going to have that running game to lean on, but I think that he individually can do some really special things to be in that Heisman conversation.
When you look at Penn State's schedule this year, obviously the two games that jump out immediately, the home game against Oregon and then the road trip to Columbus to take on Ohio State. Daniel, what do you feel like is the bigger game? Do you think it's the one against Oregon where they're going to be favored? Obviously likely a top 10, top 5 matchup. Much has been made about Franklin has struggled in those big games. Is that the bigger game, making sure you take care of a game like that where you're supposed to win? Or is it Ohio State going into the Shoe, winning that game? Obviously a team that has given Penn State plenty of trouble here.
I think you go with Ohio State in this case just because of that history that you've built up. Haven't beat them since 2016, have come close these past couple of years, some really painful losses, and I think that that's the type of game that announces you nationally. Also, when you get to that point in the season, who knows what has happened before? Who knows if you still have a zero in that win column or in that loss column? Who knows maybe what is at stake there in terms of the college football playoff and seeding? So I do think that'll be a big game. I think that the Oregon game, that can be a tone setter for you. I think that's where you, if you're Penn State, you come out. It's going to be the whiteout, national TV, night game in Beaver Stadium, a team that you lost the Big Ten championship game to last year. If you come out, put together a good showing, I think that's a way that you announce yourself on the national stage. Like, hey, we're here, we mean business. And then Ohio State, that's where you take care of the business.
I think that's really well said with both of those teams. The win total for Penn State at BetMGM is 10.5, expecting, obviously, the Nittany Lions to probably lose one of those games. And then it's just a question of, do they trip up somewhere else along the way? What do you see out of Penn State this season, Daniel? Would you go over 10.5 wins? Do you think they're a 9-10 win team this season? What would be your prediction?
I think I would go over with that. I think that you get Oregon at a good time in the schedule with a first-year starter at Oregon in Dante Moore, someone who has experience, but they've got some moving parts, some new pieces, that Beaver Stadium environment. I think that Penn State is in a good shape there. There's a couple other tricky stretches on the schedule, but I think overall this team is built to navigate that well, to handle anything that gets thrown at them. So I think that this can be an 11-1 or even 12-0 season team by the time we get to the end of November.
And Daniel, I'm getting ready to talk about this when I preview Penn State, but I really think this is their year. I think they're going to win the national championship this year. Are you with me? Would you be that bold to take Penn State, or would you just bet them to win the Big Ten? How great do you think this season can be for them?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with anyone betting on Penn State to win the national championship. I think you look at what they bring back across the board. You have a ton of talent there, ton of guys who are going to get drafted next year. And I think you have a coaching staff that has been with these guys for long enough to utilize them. And the guys who are new are experienced enough and have these really positive track records that they're in excellent shape to come in and really put things together. So now I still got, I think, a little bit more than a month before I have to sit down and say, this is going to be Penn State's record. This is how the season's going to go. But looking at the odds, looking at projections, I mean, I don't see anything that, you know, to be concerned about or anything where I'm like, no, like, don't talk about Penn State that way. Like, I think they're going to be firmly in that championship mix this year.
Man, it's going to be such a big season for them and James Franklin. We'll see if they can come through. Daniel Gallen, give him a follow on X at Daniel. JT Gallen covers Penn State for 24/7 Sports. We'll have him on throughout the season, most likely for that Oregon matchup and certainly Ohio State and maybe throughout the playoff as well. Daniel, always good seeing you, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, PJ.
You got it, man. All right, guys, let's continue talking Penn State here on Send It In, as Shawnee Sharp will throw up the schedule for us, as you guys can see it. Look, the schedule, the non-conference, this is what Penn State does, right? They don't play a very difficult non-conference because, to their credit, they know that they don't have to. They just got to do enough to get into the playoff, and then they'll take their chances. The game against Oregon is going to be a big one, and then they get Ohio State on the road as well. Outside of those two, look, the road trip to Kinnick is never easy. At Iowa could definitely be a tricky one. You do get Nebraska at home. You get Indiana at home. So there could be some games where maybe you look up in the fourth quarter and Penn State is struggling with certain teams. But ultimately, you would think the Oregon game and the Ohio State game are probably the games that give them the biggest issues. But look, I really like this Penn State team, you guys. I think Penn State is going to win the national championship this year. I really do. If you had to say, PJ, who's the team you think is going to win, I would take Penn State. I got them at 10-1 to win the title. Now they're down to 7-1, and I get it. I get it with Franklin. And a lot of you are listening right now, and there is no way that you could bet Penn State to win the Natty because of Franklin's track record in all these big games, and I totally understand. I've been the guy with you who's been preaching you can't bet James in any of these big games. But here's the major difference. Just about in all those games where Franklin was playing in a top five, top 10 matchup with Penn State, he really hasn't had the better team. You know, going up against all those Ohio State teams, Michigan teams, Oregon in the Big Ten title game last year, all those teams were better. And James Franklin just cannot beat teams that are better than his. He's really, really good at beating teams that his team is better than, but he cannot beat teams that are better than his team. But the reason I like Penn State this year is because I really think he might have the best team. I mean, they are this year's Ohio State from last year, and they are this year's Michigan from 2 years ago. A Big Ten team with the head coach looking for his first national championship with a veteran team and an experienced quarterback, right? Ohio State last year with Will Howard and a veteran team with a veteran defense. Michigan with J.J. McCarthy, an experienced quarterback with a veteran team. That's what Penn State is this year, guys. And the reason we're getting value on Penn State is because of the perception and the stigma around them. When we think about Penn State, it's like when we think about Purdue in college basketball, right? It doesn't matter what Purdue does in the regular season. As soon as we get to March Madness, we always look forward to fading them. And it's the same thing with Penn State. Doesn't matter what Penn State does in the regular season. Whenever they get to the playoffs or whenever they play in a big game, we look forward to fading them. But I think this year's Penn State is like Zach Edey's senior year team for Matt Painter and Purdue when they went all the way to the national title game. Now, obviously, they didn't win, and they ran into the buzzsaw that is UConn, and maybe there is a UConn this year in college football, and Penn State just runs into them, and there's a team out there that's better. Maybe it's Texas, Georgia, Ohio State again. We'll see, but I'll take my chances with Penn State. I really think they should be grouped kind of with Texas and Ohio State in that range, closer to 5-1, but we're getting value on them because of this James Franklin kind of perception that we've created. He's created upon himself, but really that we've all built up because of the record, when really I don't feel like he's had the better team in any of these games. Now I think he might. And if Franklin just does what he's been doing his entire career at Penn State, where he beats the teams that his team is better than, well, then there's a good chance that Penn State might be the last team standing. So, again, I like them obviously a lot better. 10-1 to win the title. It's 7-1 right now at BetMGM. I still think that's worth a bet. I also would look at the over win total at 10.5 plus 110. The Iowa game is tricky. That's been a house of horrors for them in years past. But getting Oregon at home, the whiteout, prime time, off of a bye week. I mean, look at that schedule, right? Penn State's playing Oregon with three cupcakes before that and a bye week. They're not watching any film on any of those three teams. It's literally going to be like a month prep for Oregon and getting ready for that game. So they should win that. And then going into Columbus, I think this is the year that Penn State might just do it and knock them out. So there's a chance that Penn State might go undefeated this year. I don't think it's that crazy. You're getting a solid price for it as well at 7-1. So maybe look at that potentially for them to win the Big Ten. It's plus 240. I could certainly see somebody being interested in that as well. But my favorite bets on Penn State would be the over win total 10.5 at plus 110, and for them to win the national championship as well. If you can't do it, if you can't get yourself to trust Penn State, believe me, I understand. But at the end of the season, we might look back and be like, you know what? They were just the better team. And I'm not even a Drew Aller guy. I don't really think he's as good as a lot of other people do. But you know what? Will Howard wasn't one of the top quarterbacks. J.J. McCarthy wasn't all that special at Michigan. Their teams were just so good, though, and they were the best teams that at the end of the day, they just beat everybody in front of them. And I think Penn State has a chance to do that as well. So Penn State, I think they got a great shot this year at winning the national championship. All right, let's talk a little New Orleans Saints here on the show today as we're monitoring the Open Championship. How about Matt Fitzpatrick is up to 10 under par. We're going to talk some golf here in a little bit. The New Orleans Saints, though, I think they're an interesting team for the upcoming season. I'm sure a lot of you by now, you listen to all these different shows. You listen to all these different opinions that people have on the Saints. And a whole lot of them think that the Saints are going to finish with the worst record in the NFL this season. And it makes a lot of sense. They got a first-year head coach, Kellen Moore. They got Tyler Shuck starting for them. Their defense is old, banged up. Their offensive line isn't very good. They got an aging Alvin Kamara. Chris Olave can never stay healthy. They got a lot of things not going for them this season. But they kind of remind me of the Patriots from last year, where we all thought the Patriots were going to be the worst team in the NFL, and they ended up being the third or fourth worst team in the NFL. And I think the Saints could be the same thing. I don't think the Saints are going to be the worst team in the NFL, but I think they could maybe be like third or fourth worst team in the NFL. So you're getting them at 4-1 to have the fewest wins in the NFL. I would not take that. A lot of people are betting that. Would not bet that with the Saints. Normally, when we come into an NFL season, there's a general consensus and opinion of who the worst team in the NFL is that everybody kind of agrees on. And it's usually never that team that ends up being the worst. The Saints are definitely that team this year. So I would not bet that. The win total's at 5.5 and the over is plus 120. The reason I wouldn't bet that is, again, the Saints could be the third or fourth worst team in the league, but they could also finish with four or five wins like the Patriots did this past season. So that's why I'd stay away from the win total. But, you know, I think the Saints could surprise some people. When you look at their home schedule, I mean, there's a lot of winnable games there, right? the whole world is going to be on Arizona and Survivor in week one against New Orleans, right? I mean, there are some other options that you can take, but there are going to be plenty of entries on Arizona week one on the road in New Orleans. Oof, I don't know if I would do that. That game's scary. Would it shock you if the Saints won that game? Would it shock you if Kyler Murray is a big favorite, went on the road and lost that game? No, it would not. Of course it wouldn't. Then you look at some of their other home games. San Francisco, that's obviously going to be a tough one. That'd be pretty surprising if they won that. But then look at the home schedule after those two games, right? Look at the home schedule. Giants at home, Patriots at home, Bucks at home, Falcons at home, Panthers at home, Jets at home. You're telling me they can't win a couple of those games? They can't win three or four of those games? Then all of a sudden you get to three or four wins. You only need a couple more to go over the win total. Maybe they catch somebody on the road. Now, the road schedule definitely is a little bit trickier. You got to play the Rams on the road. You got to play the Bills on the road. Got to play the Seahawks on the road. They do have some tricky road games, no question. But I think the home schedule is pretty favorable for the Saints. I could see them winning more games at home. And we know the Superdome is obviously a lot better home field advantage when it's the Drew Brees days in New Orleans. But it's still a tough place to play with that building. And if this is a fun young team that is surprising the city of New Orleans and they kind of galvanize around that group, could become a nice little home field advantage for them. So no bets for me for the Saints. I guess my biggest takeaway would be to stay away from fewest wins for the Saints, because I know a lot of people that are betting that, and I would not touch that at 4-1. All right, let's talk a little baseball. It is back today, and let's dive into it here with little Big League Page. We got the Red Sox and Cubs at Wrigley today. Lucas Giolito going up against Colin Ray. Red Sox won 10 straight games going into the break. Game one out of the break, and they're an underdog. Give me the Cubbies today at minus 145. White Sox and Pirates in Pittsburgh. Bailey Falter against Jonathan Cannon. Pirates a big favorite today. They're about minus 170. Seeing Pittsburgh as that big of a favorite, even against the White Sox. White Sox are a better team than the Pirates. I think White Sox team total under is the way to go. If the Pirates are that heavily favored, we know their offense is terrible, so they're probably going to win like a 3-1 game. I'd look at White Sox team total under. Angels and Phillies, no play for me in that game today. Jesus Luzardo on the mound for the Phillies. Padres and Nationals, Dylan Cease on the mound for the Padres going up against Michael Soroka. Nats were only a plus 118 underdog today. Felt a little bit spooky to me. I would look at the Nats today beating the Padres. Giants and Blue Jays in Toronto. Justin Verlander, obviously a Hall of Famer, incredible pitcher, not been good this season for the Giants. He's got an 0-7 record, and the Giants have lost the last five games in which he has pitched. I'll take Toronto, minus 145. Reds and the Mets today. Give me the Reds on the money line. Our guy Nick Lodolo is on the mound. We love betting Lodolo when he's on the road. We love fading him when he's at home. Well, good news for him. He's on the road today. We'll take Cincinnati plus money. Royals and Marlins today. I think it's a little alarming for a couple of these teams today that are coming out of the All-Star break, and they still haven't listed a pitcher yet this morning. What the hell were you doing the last 3 days? I mean, pick a pitcher already and tell us who's going to start. The Royals haven't done that, so I'm fading them, and I'm taking Sandy Alcantara and the Marlins today. A's and the Guardians, J.P. Sears and Slade Ciccone, we're fading that. We're not touching that game, I should say. Yankees and Braves, the Yankees are another team that haven't decided who's going to start for them today. Maybe Luis Gil makes his debut, potentially, going up against Spencer Strider, who obviously has not been the same coming back from injury. I'm big on the Yankees to win that division and coming back here in the second half, so I'll take Yankees minus 110 today. Orioles and the Rays in Tampa. Taj Bradley against Charlie Morton. For as abysmal as Charlie Morton was the first month and a half of the season, he's actually been a lot better, and the Orioles hit Taj Bradley really good about a month ago when they faced him in Tampa. I'd look at the O's money line today. Tigers and Rangers. Tigers only minus 115 in Texas today. We'll take them on the money line against the Rangers. Twins and Rockies at Coors Field. We're going to pass on that game. Cardinals and D-backs in Arizona. Andre Pallant going up against Brandon Fad. You have two pitchers with an ERA of 4.5 or higher, so we'll take the over in that game. And then Astros, Mariners in Seattle. Brandon Walter and Luis Castillo. What a huge series for Seattle. I mean, this is massive. They're five games back of the Astros to start the second half. They get them with a three-game series at home. Castillo's on the mound. Mariners are going to try and do everything they can to win this game especially, but every game in this series. So I'm getting a desperate Mariners team with one of their aces on the mound today. I'll take Castillo and Seattle money line at minus 135. And then Brewers and Dodgers tonight. This is going to be a really interesting game. Quinn Priester's been terrific this year from Milwaukee, going up against Glasnow and the Dodgers. Brewers have won eight straight games in which Quinn Priester has pitched. You can get them today on the run line. Don't even have to bet them outright. Just bet them on the run line, +1.5, and it's -130. If you want to take some money line, that's +152. So a bunch of different ways that you can bet that, but I like the Brewers today. Priester has been terrific so far for the Brewers. All right, let's talk a little golf. Royal Portrush, the Open Championship. I mean, one minute I'm looking up, I'm looking at the camera doing the show. It's a beautiful day in Ireland, and the next thing I look down at the TV and it's absolutely storming outside. So that's what it is. This is what the Open Championship is all about. Weather changing constantly, wind directions changing constantly, guys taking off their rain gear, putting back on their rain gear, umbrellas popping out, whole different thing. So it'll be interesting to see the scoring here over the next couple minutes, because the rain and the wind certainly picking up. As I mentioned a couple minutes ago, though, Matt Fitzpatrick is your leader currently at 10 under par. He's through 13 holes. Scotty Scheffler behind him at 8 under par. Let me put up some live odds currently right now at the Open. And Scotty is still the favorite at +110. Fitzpatrick right there at +300. And then Brian Harman is 11-1. So we might be headed for Fitzpatrick versus Scheffler potentially on Sunday. That would be something to watch. Harman, Hao Tongli, as I mentioned, both 8 under par. Bob McIntyre is 5 under. Tyrrell Hatton's 5 under. Tony Finau's 4 under. Rory is lurking there at 3 under. Shane Lowry is 2 under right now. It kind of does feel like this is coming down to Fitzpatrick, though, or Scottie Scheffler. It's probably going to be one of those two guys. And look, because these guys are probably going to go off in the final group tomorrow, wait to maybe see what the weather forecast is going to be looking like. You're going to get a great number tomorrow on Scottie and or on Matt Fitzpatrick in a two-ball tomorrow against Scheffler. Scheffler's got to obviously be the favorite. If it's playing like this, this is Matt Fitzpatrick type weather. I mean, he grew up in England, right? He's used to this stuff. He's used to playing Lynx golf on this kind of conditions, this kind of weather. Scottie Scheffler, not really used to that kind of stuff. Obviously, loves his high ball flight. So I would maybe look at Fitzpatrick tomorrow as well. But that's really going to be the big key throughout the weekend. What is the weather going to look like? And because that's the great defense of these Lynx-style golf courses. I like Fitzpatrick pre-tournament. I think he's probably going to be the guy that ends up winning it. Scotty, as we've talked about so many times on this show, until he can prove that he can win a major on a course that he does not see every year, I can't back him, especially at these low prices. So Fitzpatrick is the guy that I'll roll with. Some other guys that we bet, John Rahm starting to fall a little bit. He's 1 under par right now for the tournament. Hasn't had a good day. Russell Henley's going to make the cut. He's at 1 under as well. Hopefully he can go to low tomorrow. Brooks Koepka got off to a great start yesterday, then fell off in the final 9 holes. Not having a good day today. Adam Scott's going to miss the cut as well. Justin Thomas is going to make the cut. So we got some guys that are like at even par 1 under, hoping to have a nice moving day tomorrow and Sunday, get us into the top 20, top 10 range. But this is Fitzpatrick and Scheffler, it feels like. One of those two guys probably going to hoist the claret jug. All right, a BetMGM promo here for you guys for the Open Championship. BetMGM players will receive an Open Championship Odds Boost token. To use the Odds Boost token, add a wager made up entirely of the open wagers to your bet slip and activate the token. Score extra winnings if your wager was made with the Odds Boost token wins. Brought to you by the Sportsbook Warren in Vegas, BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, some plays to wrap up the show. Our favorite bets of the day. We will start with going streaking, finally back with some going streaking. I'm taking my guy Gunnar Henderson today against Taj Bradley and the Rays. Gunnar is 7-for-17 in his career against Taj Bradley. Was really playing well before going into the break. Gimme Gunnar as our guy today in going streaking. My prop lock is going to be Bailey Falter of the Pirates over 15.5 outs against the White Sox today at +125. When I see the Pirates are this big of a favorite against the White Sox, that tells me that Chicago's offense is probably going to struggle today, because there are not a lot of games that the Pirates are going to win 9-5. They're going to beat a team, it's probably going to be 4-0, 5-1, somewhere in that neighborhood. So I think Falter pitches well, plus money on over 15.5 outs. We'll take that today as our prop lock. Dog of the day, give me the Cincinnati Reds and Nick Lodolo at +125 against the Mets today. Lodolo is one of those guys, man. His splits are really good on the road. Not as great pitching at home. Obviously, Cincinnati, one of the best hitters parks in all of the MLB. Mets have been struggling the last month of the season. Sean Manaea on the mound tonight. And I think the Cincinnati team could make a push towards the playoffs. So I'll take the Reds at plus 125. And then my best bet is going to be Penn State to win the national title at plus 700. I get it if you guys don't want to go to the well with me. It's a team that obviously has had a lot of expectations for a lot of years and has come up short. But I think Franklin and Penn State might be the best team in college football this year. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're not. But if they are, then all Franklin has to do is what he's been doing his whole career and just beat the teams that are not as good as you. And they might find themselves winning the national title. So it's going to be Penn State at plus 700. Once again, Gunners are playing going streaking. Bailey Falter over 15 and a half outs is our prop lock at plus 125. Reds money line plus 125, our dog of the day. Penn State to win the national championship is going to be our best bet. Thanks again to Daniel Gallen for joining us today. We will see you guys on Monday. We're talking the Oregon Ducks with Zach Neal. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.